listeners, Sai Ram. We now bring you Vahini Satsang. Today's episode was first aired on the 9th February 2017 as part of Thursday Live programs on Asia Stream of Radio Sai. This program is hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned. Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome to Vahini Satsang. Today, by Bhagwan's grace, we have a very, very distinguished person as a guest as we discuss the fourth chapter of Prema Vahini. Bhagwan has very graciously sent to the studios today Dr. Narasimhan, the director of the Sri Satya Sai Mobile Hospital, which has been operating for more than a decade, serving the villagers, the rural folk in and around Puttaparthi, raising their quality of life, raising their health profile. And Dr. Narasimhan was blessed by Bhagwan to spearhead this initiative right from the time it started in 2006. Someone who has tremendous experience in serving the villagers, in conducting medical camps, and also in ensuring that villagers do not fall sick. So as always, along with me is Sai Prakash, and let's begin the fourth chapter of Prema Vahini. I'll play for you the first clip and then we begin the discussion.
Manava Jeevitamu Kshana Kshanamu Paiki Sadharananga Kanipinchutunnanu Nijamunaku Atlu Kadu Andulo Goppa Artham Unnadi Jeevitamantayu Oka Mahayajna Karma.
Each and every moment, human life may superficially appear to be simple, but truly it is not so. There is a great meaning inherent in it. The entire life is a great act of sacrifice or yajna karma.
So that is the first two lines of the fourth chapter of Prema Vahini. And I'm tempted to say that just like Bhagwan is telling human life, even though superficially it may appear to be simple, but it is very profound. I feel these first two lines also, even though they superficially may appear to be simple, but they are very profound. Because Bhagwan is saying the entire life is a great act of service, a great yajna karma.
Sir, only one thing comes to my mind. When you see this, Swami was once saying on the veranda, he's saying, how many people are qualified to wear this orange robe? He said, this robe which Swami is wearing is, you know, a sign of sacrifice. That orange robe that Swami is wearing is pure sacrifice. And then he says, how many people are able to actually wear this, don this orange robe? And here he says that every moment in life, we think it is simple, but the whole saga of human life itself is a great sacrifice or yajna karma. And you know, it would really, it's directly reflecting in your life, where your life is one of sacrifice, of service, and of loving service. So, I just wanted to, you know, kind of take you back and ask one or two things, like, what is the spirit, sir? Like, when he says the life itself is an act of sacrifice, when you're doing service, do you think you're sacrificing something?
If you look at it from a deeper philosophical plane,
sir,
service itself is a sacrifice. Because of all the sadhanas,
mm-hmm.
when you are doing service, it is very clear that you forget yourself, your body, your family. Everything that is I and mine get dissolved, because you have to get totally immersed in the act of trying to relieve either the pain or the suffering or the need of the beneficiary who is proximate or opposite to you. So the self in you has got lost.
Mm-hmm.
You have become selfless.
So
that is why only in service as a sadhana the prefix selfless is used.
Mm.
You don't have something like a selfless japa or a selfless meditation.
Mm.
Because the individual has got himself lost, dissolved or immersed. And as you know, the aim of sadhana is to transform oneself from individuality to universality. So, when you are immersed in service, it is nothing but an act of sacrifice.
Beautiful.
Wonderful. In fact, the other thought also that comes to me is, when Bhagavan is telling the entire life is an act of great sacrifice, I'm just tempted to think that perhaps many times we don't reflect on it, but everything in our life is actually sacrifice. Right from the time we are born, you have the mother who sacrifices so much just to ensure that we are born properly. We are born without any major problems. Then as we grow, you find the mother continues to sacrifice. And as you grow, you have your siblings, you see your sibling sacrifice, you see your father sacrifice. And as you later on have a partner, you'll find your partner sacrificing. So we don't consciously see this, but Swami is saying that is what life is. It is all about sacrifice. And when you see nature also all the time sacrificing. You find that someone is sacrificing for the other in the nature. The other thing that I want to ask you also, because you are a doctor, is this whole concept of sacrifice also plays out within our body, isn't it, sir? Like you have sometimes, you know, I have heard about this concept called neuroplasticity, where though it is understood that various parts of the brain are meant for different functions, and earlier it was thought that if this part of the brain is damaged because of an accident or any such calamity, you feel that person will not be able to perhaps, you know, talk or perhaps see because that part of the brain is damaged. But what they have found is with time other parts of the brain also begin to take over that function, which they thought is never ever going to happen. In fact, we have the one famous story I read some time ago where they said this person is paralyzed and because that part of the brain is gone, you can forget it. He is never ever going to have those limbs move. But suddenly they found that this is amazing, that, you know, some other part of the brain actually came forward and took over the functions. So what I'm saying is, I don't know, but perhaps it happens in our body also, isn't it? So where you have lot of these unconscious sacrifice that goes on continuously.
Yeah, you're right, Bishu. What you mentioned, we call it in medical parlance as compensatory hypertrophy.
Mm-hmm.
That is, say, suppose you take an organ like the liver. Even if 90% of the liver gets damaged owing to trauma or say a gunshot injury, the 10% remaining liver, it hypertrophies. In medical terms, it's called, it enlarges or it expands its function, and that is sufficient to sustain human life. But anyway, as you said, since I am a doctor, going at a more what we call anatomical plane, if you find in the human body every second there are thousands or perhaps lakhs or millions of cells which are dying for the simple reason that they are no more fit, they think.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones which are living, what they do is they go on undergoing a process of division. That is, one cell becomes two cells. So it's a process of sacrifice. The cells which feel that they are now not fit enough, they perish. And the ones which are existing or living, they divide.
Hmm.
If that is at, say, a microscopic level or a more subtle level. At a grosser level, you find every organ in the body is doing some function which actually is meant for the whole body.
Yes.
That is, say, for example, the heart. It goes on pumping blood. It goes on contracting.
Correct.
To supply blood for the whole of the body. Whereas what amount of blood the heart needs is very little. In fact, has got what we call two coronary arteries, whose diameter is only 1.5 millimeters. And through these two coronary arteries, it gets its own blood. But it pumps so much blood, say every minute it pumps for about 70 to 80 times, it contracts. Similarly, the kidneys are always in the process of trying to excrete out all the waste material. So as you rightly pointed out, even if you take the anatomical framework of the human body, the act of sacrifice is always going on. And as you rightly said, human life also, if you take, every individual partly lives and does works for his own self, but to an equal extent or even a greater extent, he lives for others' sake.
Yes.
Like what all an individual goes to the office and tries to earn money is not only for himself, for his children's education, for his daughter's marriage. So everybody and everything actually is in a process of sacrifice only. The only thing, the sacrifice sometimes becomes limited to a small sphere.
Yes.
This is where Swami says you need to expand your heart. You need to broaden your consciousness. And finally, again, if you take it at the spiritual level, for a sadhak, the culmination of spirituality is sacrifice, because the I has to merge into the absolute. The journey starts from I, then it becomes we, and ultimately he.
Yes.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
So, looking at it from all dimensions, you know, sacrifice, yes.
Yes.
The law of nature is the order of creation.
Yes.
Is the nature of human life also.
Yeah. I mean, that is what, if you have to summarize what is creation, it is sacrifice. Everywhere, everybody is sacrificing, though it is not apparent to us, unless you really spend time, contemplate and see it from that perspective. In fact, it reminds me of one story. Apparently, there was a shipwreck, and there are two people who, you know, who managed to swim, and they land in an island. And so both of them, they are complete strangers in that island, and that island is deserted. There is no one there. So both of them, they believed in God because God saved them. So they decide that let us occupy opposite sides of the island so that, and let's see whose prayer God answers. So one of them is on the, say, north side of the island, and so he prays to the Lord, Lord, I'm just stranded here, please give me food. I need food to survive. And the next day he sees that, you know, there are fruit-bearing trees there, so he's very happy, God answered my prayers. And then once, you know, that need is satisfied, then he feels, God, I am feeling lonely now, you know, I really need a companion. And next day he sees there's another shipwreck, and there is a lady that walks in, and so he proposes to her, and now he has a wife, so he's very happy. And now, after some time, you know, now that he's a householder, he says, God, you know what, I want a house and I want, you know, some more food. And again the next day, so he has a house, he has some more food. And then after some time he says, you know what, why should I live on this island here? Let me go and, you know, I'll live a proper life. So the next day he prays to the Lord again. And so what he sees is the next morning there is a beautiful boat which is somehow arrived there. So he can actually now escape the island and go. So he jumps into the island with his wife, and as he's starting his journey, he hears this voice from the heavens, and the Lord says, hello, why are you leaving that other guy on the other end? He was also with you when you came. And he says, Lord, that guy is an unfortunate person. He has not got any of his prayers answered. Perhaps he does not deserve your grace, Lord. Anyway, I know you have answered all my prayers. You know how good and how pure I am. So perhaps that is what is his destiny, Lord. Anyway, so it is left to him, because I don't think he deserves your grace. So, and he, as he was about to go, the Lord says, you foolish person, do you know? You think your prayers are answered? All the time I was answering his prayers. What do you mean? whatever I have prayed, you have answered the Lord? He says, no. Do you know what was his prayer? I said, what was his prayer? His prayer has been only one since the time he came. Lord, whatever is that other person's prayer, please fulfill that person's prayer. So it is because of him that I answered all your prayers. The Lord says. So what I was thinking is, many times, you know, we think we are self-made, or we think, you know, this is what I have achieved. But we don't know, so many people have invisibly. Sometimes we can see 2-3 people who are visible, but there are so many people who have invisibly contributed. And I think that is what the whole creation is all about. All the times there is somebody who is sacrificing silently, covertly, overtly for you. And that is the reason why we are able to do what we are doing.
In fact, as sir was saying, Swami often says in his discourse, na karmana na prajaya dhane na tyage naike amritatva manaso.
Yes.
He says, na karmana means not by action and not by, you know, popularity, prajaya in the fame and name.
Prajani, nothing. Yeah.
Dhanena, not by wealth.
Not by wealth.
But only by sacrifice, you can get, achieve immortality. You know, it is such a, when I was just thinking about this, there is, when Swami came to the Bangalore hospital, inauguration of the Bangalore Super Speciality Hospital, Swami gave his discourse. And that clip is so powerful. Swami says, you know, go and serve the poor. Serve the poor. You know, it's there in that documentary,
yes,
in the, that
yes.
starting of that mobile hospital documentary.
Perfectly,
that,
yeah.
He says, serve the poor. And he says, I am ready to give up my life in service for the poor. He says, what else is needed other than this? Just go and try to imbibe this 1,000,000th of what spirit of service that I am having. So I think service and sacrifice are kind of so intertwined that Swami says, when you serve the poor, that is the greatest.
As one Swami said, service is your birthright. Swami said, that is what?
I am ready to sacrifice my life. I am ready to give up my life for in service of the poor.
Wow. Wonderful. So let's move on to the next clip.
నిద్ర సమాధి భోగానుభవములు అన్నింటినీ ఈశ్వరార్పణ చేసిపోవు నిద్ర సమాధి కాక మరేమి. దేహమే నేనను భావం సర్వత్రా వ్యాపించి ఉండుట వల్ల మనుష్యుడు వివేకం లేక దేహపుష్టి కొరకు అనేక సాధనాలు నిర్మించుకును. ఈ దేహము పాతదై జీర్ణమైపోయినను ఏదేని ఒక ఉపాయం చేత దానిని నిలబెట్టుటకు ప్రయత్నించుచుండును. కాని ఎంతకాలం ఈ దేహమనే పైతొడుగును నిలుపగలడు? చనిపోవు వరకే కదా. మృత్యువు యొక్క వారంటు వచ్చిన తరువాత ఒక్క నిమిషమైనా ఉండుటకు వీలగునా? మృత్యువు ఎదుట అన్ని గర్వములు, అన్ని హోదాలు అణగిపోవును. కాన అహర్నిశలు దేహమును గూర్చి యోచించక పరమార్థమును పొందగోరి త్రికరణ శుద్ధియా సర్వజీవుల కొరకు పాటుపడుటకు ఈ కాయమును కాపాడుకొనవలనే కాని నీవు ఈ దేహమే కావు, ఆత్మవు.
If the sleep that one enjoys after offering all the experiences of the day to the Lord in a spirit of surrender is not samadhi, then what else is it? Because of the all-pervasive feeling of I am the body, man, without discrimination, explores various ways to boost his physical being. Even when the body becomes weak and decrepit due to age, he continues to attempt to bolster it up by some means or the other. But for how long can this vesture called body be supported? Only till death, isn't it? Once the death warrant arrives, can one stay even for an extra minute? All pride and position vanish in front of death. Therefore, instead of thinking day and night about the body, preserve it only for the purpose of serving all living beings with Trikarana Shuddhi, or purity of thought, word and deed, so that you can realize the higher self, as you are not the body but the Atma.
So many thoughts expressed in this paragraph. Maybe you can just take to begin with the first thought where Bhagwan is saying that you have today everyone's exploring various ways to boost their physical being. And then Swami says, you know, even when the body becomes weak and decrepit, you somehow want, you know, want to bolster it up somehow, some means or the other you want to always carry on. And sometimes, isn't it, sir, we go to sometimes extents which are laughable in trying to, you know, carry on with this, as Bhagwan says, an instrument.
Yeah, as a doctor, again I would like to point out, this is very correct. Man wants to defy his age, defy the natural process of aging and its associated features which occur. Like, for example, the hairs get grey. He tries to use chemical agents to darken it, blacken it.
God raised die.
Yeah. If the teeth fall out, nowadays we have not only dentures but also permanent implantation of the teeth into the jaw. If the hearing gets impaired, he goes in for hearing aids. The eye vision diminishes, he tries to get it corrected by a cataract surgery. It is not that these things should not be done, I am not saying that way. But then if these are done with the higher wisdom, that after all aging is part of nature, and he reminds himself that now perhaps the number of years that is left at my disposal is not much. I need to now do things in a larger perspective. Again, coming to the point of expanding one's consciousness, get myself involved in virtuous acts rather than trying to preserve this body by artificial means. So the process is basically accepting aging. It's not that you should not do things which can perhaps, if not reverse, but can correct it to a certain extent. But at the same time, your conduct and your inclination towards doing better things now that you are aging, that sort of a wisdom should dawn in you. Yeah.
In fact, as you were talking about how we somehow want to extend our life, and sometimes, you know, in the point of also abusing what God has given as a body. In fact, I remember on one occasion I was traveling the train, and I had this person with whom I just started this casual conversation, and he said that he has diabetes and all that. So I said, what are you doing about it? You know, he said, no, nothing, there's nothing that I have to do. I have to just go to the doctor. And, you know, he is given some medicines. I said, see, along with that, perhaps, you know, there is some other changes that you are supposed to do in terms of, you know, lifestyle and all that. He said, see, when your car is not working properly, what do? You go to the garage, okay? You tell that guy, repair the car, I'll give you this much money. Okay? That guy cannot put me more conditions. The very fact that I'm giving him money, he should just repair it here. He cannot put conditions on me, you do this, you do that. So it was similarly, see, it's my body. I go to the doctor. He should tell me that, okay, I am paying money to the doctor. He should tell me, okay, take this medicine. You'll be fine. He cannot now give more conditions on me, do this, don't do this. I was like very surprised.
He seems to be legally correct.
That's true. I mean, this is such a beautiful point, because he says that how long can you go on saving this body, and how long can you go on kind of giving it importance? You know, there is a sense of detachment that Swami is trying to bring about here. He says, Swami gives this classic example. He says, this is my kerchief. In the discourse, he says, this is my kerchief. So that means kerchief is separate from me.
Yes.
And he says, this is my body. So the body is separate from me.
And, you know, certain thoughts, some of these thoughts that come to my mind, Swami would refer to himself as this body, ee dehamu.
Yes.
Ee deham idi chesinappudu, ee dehamu, this body, and this body's mother or this body's relatives. Or, you know, he would refer to it as this body, like a third person. So, the right amount of care, you know, when we did discussion on the 1990 series, there were two discourses where he spoke on the human body. And he says, why should the body be cared for? He said, it is because it is the temple of God. So, when you look at the body as temple of God, then you give it that due respect that you are supposed to give it. Otherwise, if you overly give respect only to the body, then, you know, you are just caught up in preserving it all the time. You are yes. not, he says, that sense of sacrifice, that sense of service, he says, doesn't come out, because you are, you know, all the time thinking you are this body and you are held up in preserving it.
Yes. In fact, that is what you mentioned about Bhagwan giving the example of the handkerchief. I remember on so many occasions Swami has done that.
You exactly.
know, Swami used to say, it is my handkerchief, means it is separate from me.
Right.
You say, it is my hand. Hand is separate from me. Similarly, it is my body. Body is separate from me. It is separate from you. And the other thing also in this discourse in Prema Vahini, Bhagwan says, all pride and position vanish in front of death.
Right.
And again, I'm reminded of how Bhagwan used to always give the example of Alexander.
Mm.
And Bhagwan says that Alexander came to India and then, you know, suddenly he fell ill. And so they called the best of doctors and they said, we cannot do much. Your days are numbered. And that is when that realization dawns on him that I'm like such a great conqueror. I have conquered so much of earth. I have the huge army with me. I have so much gold. I have the best of people, best of talent, but nobody is able to extend my life by, you know, few days.
Right.
And that is when he makes this request. His last wish is that after I leave, both my hands should be raised and you should carry my body in that posture in all the cities, in all the streets of Greece, and let people know and give them this message that this is what the message I wanted to convey. This is my last wish. It has to be done. Tell everyone that Alexander the Great, who had all the army at his disposal, all the doctors at his disposal, all the wealth at his disposal, could not extend his life by a single day.
Yeah. Incidentally, in my case, before I came to Swami's fold, I was associated with an organization called Divine Life Society, whose headquarters, the Sivananda Ashram, is in Rishikesh, and our Bhagwan had visited the ashram twice and called it a very favorable place for penance.
Hmm.
So the sage saint there, Swami Shivananda, always used to say, remember God. But in the same vein, he used to say, remember death.
Hmm.
So these two things should be strong forces which should propel you forward in the spiritual path. And he used to say, remembering God, equally important as remembering death.
Wow. In fact, yeah, every day if you think that this is my last moment, your day is going to be different. As Bhagwan used to say, the divine photographer can click at any moment.
Yeah.
Always
be prepared for
be
it.
Be prepared,
yeah.
Always keep smiling.
Yeah.
Let your picture come beautiful.
And then the last point here, he says, preserve this body only for the purpose of serving all living beings with Trikarana Shuddhi, purity yes. of thought, word and deed, so that you can realize the higher self. As you are not the body, you are not the body but the Atma. I mean, as you are saying, sir, selfless service.
Yeah.
This is the only
yeah.
path where the self, if you look at it as the ego,
yes.
less and less of ego and more of.
Yeah.
But if you can just throw some more light on this, sir. Swami says, the purpose is to serve all living beings with Trikarana Shuddhi. What is serving with Trikarna Shuddhi? What is serving with purity of thought, word and deed? What according to you is a service that is done with this triple qualification?
Yeah. See, service is basically an act where there are two components or two, say, individuals. The one who is doing the service and the one who is receiving the service, the beneficiary, what we call. So I feel if Swami says that seva has to be done with purity, it means that the one who is serving should always look at the needs of the other or the problems of the other by putting himself in that position. If I am suffering with the same problem, what would I expect? If suppose I take my mother to a hospital, how would I expect the people there in the hospital, starting from the reception to the doctor, how they would treat my mother? So in the same way, if you can identify yourself with the problem or with the needs or with the feelings of the person to whom you are serving, I think that broadly encompasses what Swami is trying to point out by saying you should do it with Trikarna Shuddhi or purity of thought, word and deed. And as a group, once in an interview when one of our friends had asked Swami, Bhagwan, please tell us which is the single factor, can you please tell us one single factor which would contribute to the success of the group in seva? Swami instantly shot back by saying, purity of the leader, unity of the group.
Wow.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously when there is no purity, you know, there comes other agenda, especially in seva, though it is a very sort of a sadhana which really in the modern context, especially when our minds are so restless and it is difficult for us to do sadhanas like japa or meditation. But still it has the inherent danger in it that maybe you're doing service for earning a name or a reputation. Somewhere the ego factor comes up.
Yes.
So if we again and again remind ourselves by having this pure thought in us that the seva I am doing is as an instrument of the Lord, the seva I am doing is for effacement or erosion of my ego itself, for my evolution. And in the process, as a spillover effect, somebody may be benefited. That purity, if you retain, I think God's grace flows in continuously.
Wonderful.
In fact, there is this question Dr. John Hislop asked Swami in Conversations with Sai Baba in that book. So he says, Swami, now we have understood. You are saying I am not this body, or not merely this body, not merely the senses, mind. I am the divine force, the Atman. Now am I a realized soul? You have told all this. I have heard all this. I have understood. Swami says, no. Then he says, Swami, but I know all this. What is the gap? Where is the gap? Swami says, when you walk out on the street, if you feel the suffering of the person who is there, you should feel it, not know that he is suffering. When you feel the suffering, then you are a realized man.
Wow. So that's
a mark of realization.
That's the mark of realization, is when you feel that unity, when you feel that empathy, when you feel one with everybody. He says that is the state of realization. Not just knowing, okay, here is a person who is suffering. When you see, you actually feel the pain, as if it's an extension of, he is an extension of yourself. So exactly as what you were saying, that purity of thought, word and deed will lead you to identify yourself.
Correct.
Completely with the person whom you're intending to serve.
So, which only means that anyone who is evolved, if he is really evolved, then he has to be someone whose whole body has just become compassion.
Exactly.
If there is compassion pouring out of all the cells of his body, then he's evolved.
Yeah, that's true.
Wow.
Yeah, that's really superb.
In fact, very beautifully you said, you know, purity of the leader, unity of the group, and that's what will take them to divinity.
Yeah.
I think that this is a mantra, I think, for all the service initiatives that happen in the organization or whoever.
Absolutely, absolutely correct.
You know, there is no point we trying to do service, but you know, there are so many divergent views and we are all the time, you know, not decided about what we will do, how we will do, and you know, we ultimately end up doing something, but among us only, there is so much of disharmony and, you know, no cohesion. I think then the whole purpose is lost.
Yes, yes.
I mean, that is the basic level. You should start before you go to the Advaitic level of purity. Wonderful. So we'll move to the next paragraph.
Tattvamasi, a atma swarupam nivu. Idi mikkili unnatam pavitramu aina mahavakyam. Nasha rahitamaina phalamedo, a lopala saramedo, ade nivu. ఈ దేహము కంటే భిన్నము నిష్కళంకము అయిన ఆత్మతత్వమే నీవు. ఆ ఆత్మతత్వ నిమిత్తమే నీకీ శరీరం ప్రాప్తించినది. నీవు ఎల్లప్పుడూ స్థిరముగా నుండువు. ఈ శరీరమును వాహనంగా చేసుకుని వచ్చుట ఎవరిని వారు నాశనం చేసుకున్నట్టుగా కాదు. ఈ దేహముపై అధికారము వినియోగించి తద్వారా లోకకల్యాణమును వృద్ధిపరచుట కొరకు ఈ మహత్తత్వము నిమిత్తము ఈ శరీరమును విసరవలను. కర్మాచరణకే ఈ దేహము. ఈ దేహము కేవలం నిమిత్తమాత్రమైన సాధనం, ఈశ్వర దత్తమైన ఒక పనిముట్టు. దాని అవసరం తీరిన నాడు దానితో అవసరం లేదు. అట్టి నిజతత్వమును పొందు వరకు దేహమును మాత్రం సర్వ విధాలా కాపాడుకునవలెను.
తత్వమసి, యు ఆర్ ద ఎంబాడిమెంట్ ఆఫ్ ది ఆత్మ. దిస్ ఈస్ ద హైయెస్ట్ and holiest Mahavakya or divine axiom. You are that indestructible fruit and its inner essence. You are that Atma Tattva, the Atmic principle, which is different from the body and is blemishless. It is for the sake of this Atmic principle alone that you are given this body. You, the Atma, is always steady. Have you come with the body as a vehicle to destroy yourself? Surely not. You are here to exercise authority over the body, to thereby promote welfare of the world. The body has to be utilized for this Mahatattva, a great purpose. This body is meant for performing actions. It is a mere implement and instrument gifted by God. Once its intended purpose is served, it is needed no more. Until you have realized your true self, the body has to be protected by all means.
So you have Bhagwan very clearly saying that you should know that you are the Atma, you are not the body. Bhagwan mentioned that in the previous paragraph, but here he emphasizes it in so many ways.
Yeah, basically Swami is saying that that is the truth, that is the ultimate truth. But till you reach there, till you go there, you have to protect the body, you have to use the body as an instrument. You know, Swami used to give this very beautiful example of a flute. And he says how the instrument should be in his hands. It should be like the flute, the body should be like the flute, completely hollow. And he says the body should be completely hollow in the hands of God so that the music can be played. And this analogy is, you know, very beautiful, and we have heard it many times in many discourses. I'm just reminded of one personal episode where Swami was, you know, very sweetly said something on these lines. Because I wrote a letter to Swami in those days. You know, if you write a long letter and give it to Swami, then he would just take it and go. But if you write a one-liner, you know, he would stand right next to you and read that letter. And he would immediately give, you know, his point of view and all that.
You can see his reaction.
Swami would give a reaction, and so... And oftentimes, you know, it's just to keep him, you know, to hold Swami right next to us and take a namaskar, and you know, he can touch his feet as he's reading a letter. So one of those days I had written to Swami Swami, please make me an instrument of Thee. So, you know, that is also a part of the prayer which Swami Himself, O Lord, take my love and let it flow in fullness of devotion to Thee. In that prayer, O Lord, make me an instrument to work. That's what Swami writes. So, O Lord, make me an instrument of Thee, I wrote. And gave that slip to Swami. Swami took that slip and he was standing there and he said, instrument, instrument. Then he made a very beautiful remark. He said, ఈసారి ఏం ఇన్స్ట్రుమెంట్ తీసుకురాలేదే హి సెడ్ బేసికలీ ఇన్ దిస్ అవతార్ ఐ హావ్ నాట్ బ్రాట్ ఎనీ ఇన్స్ట్రుమెంట్ అండ్ హి సెడ్ ఎక్సెప్ట్ దిస్ అండ్ హి షోడ్ హిస్ హెయిర్ యు నో దట్స్ సచ్ ఎ బ్యూటిఫుల్ ఇది తప్ప హి షోడ్ హిస్ హెయిర్ బికాస్ ఇఫ్ యు లుక్ అట్ ఇట్ హిస్ హెయిర్ ఇస్ వాట్ ఐ కేమ్ విత్ హిమ్ అండ్ హి సెడ్ ఇది తప్ప And very beautifully gave a smile and he said, "Isari em tiskuralede?" He said. So, you know, when I was saying that instrument, he says, use the body itself as an instrument. That's what, this is what came to my mind.
Yeah. See, if I look at the paragraph, I can see two sections vividly and so beautifully.
Sir.
The one section, you know, the first half of it is the ideology part of it.
Correct.
Where Swami is trying to point out, what are you?
Mm-hmm.
But the second point, Swami quickly comes back. As you know, Swami is intensely practical. He comes to the methodology of it.
Yes.
Right.
How not to be caught in the, you know, whirlpool of only ideology, but right, how to act.
Correct.
And in this context, again, like each one of us, we have some, you know, incidents which happened, you know, the divine encounters which we had with Bhagavan. I would like to share one with you regarding this Atma, you know, sort of concept. So there was a period in my life when I used to bother much about all this Atma, Brahma, God realization, self-realization, all that, you know, the aim of spirituality is that and all. You know, at that time, you know, the old students of Bhagavan, every New Year Eve, they organized medical camps in the villages around Puttaparthi, and that was one of the doctors. So evening when we all sat as a group, Swami asked, how many of you are there? And some number was told, but Swami said, no, there are also paramedical. He didn't like that. As you know, it's not that Swami doesn't want paramedical staff to sit with the doctors, but he is a disciplinarian. You have said that it is only doctors and now paramedics. So I thought I'll cover up the situation. I went up on my knees and said, no, Swami, we did some cultural program, Samskritika Karikramal Chesebu. So that's why they are all also with us, as though that's an excuse. Then Swami said, what did you do? Then he said, Swami, we had a talk on health and hygiene. He said, chala santosham, very happy. And then we enacted a drama on alcoholism, Swami. Oh, anna, ni kal mokta tagaku. My dear brother, please don't take alcohol. I would go to the extent of holding your feet. Then Swami asked me, nuvem act chesava drama lo? Yes, I did have a small role in that. Then I said, Swami, doctor ga. And Swami said, nuve doctor kada, malli etla doctor ga act chesu. Swami said, you are yourself doctor, how can you act as a doctor? So I was perplexed, and you know, I couldn't come back with any other sort of a counter question or something. You know, people around, obviously, you know, they all laughed. But back home I knew Swami must have meant something very deep, so I was waiting for an opportunity to clarify from Swami, because Swami says that I'll not waste even a single word. You know, my energy, I won't waste even a single word. It has a purpose. So the next time, luckily, when I got an interview, I asked Swami, Swami, what did you mean that day when you said, do a doctor? Then Swami said, burla edho petkuto, you keep so many thoughts, God realization. You are God, I am God. I know I am God, you don't know you are God.
Oh.
And then he said, don't bother about all these thoughts. All of you are already realized. But you have to act in life as an actor does on the stage. And he said, but your acting is very difficult. Do you know why? He, Swami asked. See, now you are there. He looked at me and said, you are a son to your parents. You are a husband to your wife. You are a brother to your brothers and sisters. You are a worker in the office. You are a neighbor in the place where you stay, in the neighborhood. So you have to play all these roles. But you have to play it perfectly, and that is realization. That is Atmic realization, he said.
My goodness.
If you play all these roles perfectly, just as an actor on the stage, he knows that he is not like a policeman or whatever role he is enacting. But he plays the role of that policeman in the most perfect way. Swami said, this is realization. So don't break your head over all these concepts. So again, I see here, the first part, Swami has talked about Atma and all, but the second part, quickly again, Swami is coming back to service and how the body has to be utilized for this purpose. And the last sentence, as you know, again, Swami says, the body has to be protected by all means, especially for this purpose. And as a doctor, I really know the meaning of this, and in this context, often I quote what Sri Adi Shankara, one who had negated the world, he said the world is a creation of the mind, Maya, and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But when he was asked which is the greatest asset for man in his spiritual pursuit, he said not only spiritual pursuit but even for vyavaharic life, samsaric life, worldly life, he said it is not buddhi or viveka. You know, he was a Vedantin, you know, we expect him to say buddhi, vairagya, viveka and all. He said arogya. So in the context of we
health, good health.
So in the context of we brothers being in Swami's work, I feel all the more that all of us should pay, especially me personally speaking, we need to pay attention to our health, protect the body. And again, once when, you know, in an interview, we showed Swami an album wherein in a village service, we had renovated a temple.
Mm-hmm.
Swami said, Isar chesaru manchidi, it's okay. It's okay, you've done this good. But nijamaina mandiramu, ee shariramay. Ee mandiranki inka ekku seval cheyandi, he said.
Your true temple is your
temple,
body.
The true temple is your body. Do more service for this. So he emphasized the importance of our taking care of the body, of course, not for, you know, sensual pleasures, but for the higher purpose for which Swami is again and again reminding us.
Yes, wonderful. In fact, I just want to connect what you said about Bhagwan saying that if you perform your role perfectly, that itself is self-realization.
Yes.
And that's what Swami is saying also in the first line of the previous paragraph, where Swami says, if the sleep that one enjoys after offering all the experience of the day to the Lord in a spirit of surrender, if that is not Samadhi, then what else is Samadhi?
Yes.
That is what is Samadhi, Swami is saying.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And in fact, we have experienced that, isn't it? You know, someday when we have, if you have spent that day constantly thinking about God or having that feeling so much overpowering your mind that, you know, I'm doing it for God. And I think those days you can really sleep so well. There are no thoughts disturbing you and you actually are very active even if you sleep for very few hours, isn't it? Even few hours of sleep also is enough for you.
Yes, and when you lie down, you feel sometimes out of the body.
Yeah.
It's all bliss only.
Yeah. Deep sleep is really bliss.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
What sir narrated is so beautiful.
Yes.
And what Swami said,
yes,
that if you play a role properly, that itself is realization.
He
says, don't waste time thinking about
it. Yeah.
But I think, as sir also said, it is important to know that the philosophy and the ideology.
Yes, yes.
But the practical application is,
yes,
just do your role perfectly. And as Bhagwan is very clearly saying, the other important point here, that you have to exercise authority over your body.
Yes.
Swami is very clearly saying that. You know, what is happening most of the time, you know, is the body exercising authority over us.
Yes.
And that is the reason why, you know, we pander to the body, we indulge and everything. It's because we allow the body to exercise authority over us. But Swami is very clearly, you have to exercise authority over the body, but only for promoting welfare of the world.
And with a great sense of humility, I would say that, you know, even if I am not well, I feel that if I go for seva and get myself immersed in seva, I don't feel the pain or the, or you may be having fever or even the fever or the pain or discomfort. You don't feel it when you go back to seva, and only when you come back you feel. So I feel better it is to go for seva rather than, you know, sleeping at home.
Yes. Wonderful.
This, you know, this whole thing of selfless service and the body, you know, immersing it in seva, there is this beautiful episode of a seva dal. You know, when there was a very big function in Puttaparthi, Swami's birthday, and there was this human waste sewage, the line, which had got blocked. And without second thought, this Sevadal jumped into it, manhole, and then actually he cleared the block. And when, you know, the function was over and there's nobody who reported anything to Swami, everything went on well, and then Swami was actually giving Parnamaskar to all the Sevadals. I believe when Swami came near him, Swami was so happy, he blessed him, he says, "This is your last birth."
Wonderful,
you know,
wonderful.
He says, so he made him stand up and he say, "You know what this boy has done? For Swami's sake, he means that moment there was no selfishness at all.
Yes.
Absolute selflessness. He just said, "Oh my, Swami's function, this is happening." He just jumped into that manhole and just cleared that block. And then Swami says, "For this, there is no rebirth."
That's a very beautiful example to demonstrate also how at that point in time, if that person has thought, "I am the body," he would not have been able to do it.
Absolutely.
He thought that I am just a servant.
Right.
I am just an instrument.
Exactly.
Just an instrument.
Mm.
Because that feeling was so overpowering, I think he was able to remove his shirt and just jump in. And I think if you are that confident about it, I think if that feeling is so suffused in us, and I think then every moment you can live like a realized
that Orissa Sevadal, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Amazing. Beautiful. In fact, also here, the other thing that I noticed, he is Swami telling, until you have realized your true self, the body has to be protected. Swami is saying the body doesn't have to be decorated, doesn't have to be indulged, nothing. Only protected.
Yeah.
That is very clear, yeah. Very clear in me.
In fact, when I often recollect the twin sadhanas which Swami has prescribed for this yuga, Namasmarana on the one hand and Niswartha Seva, taking God's name and selfless service, when I think of Namasmarana, taking the Lord's name, I am reminded of what Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa had said when somebody asked him till what stage we should follow these rituals, these practices, taking God's name, puja and all. Then he told, it seems, when on hearing the name of the Lord itself, tears start coming out of your eyes, till that stage you have to take the name of the Lord. And when it comes to selfless service, Niswartha Seva, when Swami was asked, till what age we have to do Seva, Swami said, "No age, you have to do Seva till the last breath of your life."
Oh,
yes. Wow. In fact, that is what is
so
Bhagwan's.
When you said that every second, every minute, we perhaps need to lead the life of that Orissa Sevadal.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yes, hmm. Indeed, we need to do. Yes. That way, I think, if really we have to please our master.
Yes. In fact, the other thought also that comes to me is, when the avatar came in a human form, this is what he demonstrated to us. You know, I remember in so many interviews, Bhagwan used to tell us, because, you know, we were little kids, we never got it. Swami used to always say, "See this body, from top to toe, dawn till dusk, it's only service. It's only selfless service." And in fact, when in the first paragraph also where Bhagwan is saying the entire life is a great act of service, a great act of sacrifice, I think that is what we saw in Bhagwan also. I think whenever avatars come, they give us a complete demonstration of it. If only we have the eyes to... Today when you look at Bhagwan's life and you know, you see every instance of his life, now you realize that at every moment you are only thinking of the other person. So the avatar comes to tell us that if a body is given, if you have a body, how that body should be utilized. When Swami is telling that the body has to be utilized only to promote the welfare of mankind, and Swami's body is the grandest example of that.
Yeah.
Of how you can lead a life only for the welfare of mankind. And one other thing also Swami is saying here, when he's talking about the Atmic principle, Swami is telling you the Atma is always steady. I think if we remember these, I think one thing I remember again here, again as a school student, Swami used to say that whenever any thoughts come to you, which are not good thoughts, keep telling yourself, "I am not an animal, I am man, I am not an animal, I am man." I remember Swami used to tell us an as a school student, I used to think, what is this? I mean, we thought Swami will give us some magic formula, you know. But Swami will tell this, if you get this thought, tell, I am not animal, I am man. Then Swami will say, I am divine, I am not man, I am divine, I am not man, I am divine. You should keep telling. In fact, but I think as you grow and when you do this exercise, it really helps actually.
Yes.
It helps so much. Because just that assurance to yourself that you are not ordinary, that you are divine. If I just sit and, you know, for 5 minutes, if I just say, I am peace, or I am love, that itself actually changes me, isn't it? Changes my perspective, changes the way I look at things. It will immediately calm me down. It will change the way I look at things also. I think just that assertion to ourselves also is so powerful.
Yeah, well, auto-suggestion, what
yeah,
you call.
Yeah. So, well, I think as you said, we need to remember the, understand the philosophy, but also having understood that, we have to practice it. And the way to practice it is what Bhagwan has also very beautifully mentioned. Maybe we'll, I think time is running out. Maybe we'll just listen to the fourth paragraph.
Okay.
And then we'll continue the discussion in the next week.
Chalikalamlo vesina dustulu endakalamuna dharintuma? అట్టే ప్రపంచ వ్యామోహమనే గాలులు వీచినంత వరకు, ఆ గాలులకు తాళలేనంత వరకు ఈ మలినమైన మందమైన తోలితిత్తులు అవసరం. వాటి గాలి మానవుని మనసునకు కాని, కాయమునకు కాని, వాక్కునకు కాని సోకకుండిన సూక్ష్మదేహమును ధరింతురు.
Do we use the clothes worn during winter in summer too? Likewise, as long as the gales of worldly attachment blow and till we are unable to withstand such gales, this dull and dirty human vesture is essential. Once this gale does not affect one's mind, body or words, then one can assume a subtle body.
So, Swami's he is very beautifully saying that you need the body as long as all these qualities affect you, all the gunas affect you. Until that point, you definitely need the body. And I think there is much more to discuss on this. We just hope, I don't know whether we'll be able to have Dr. Narasimhan next week on Vahini Satsang, because you are here generally on the first 12, 13 days of this every month for the Mobile Hospital Seva. But we just hope that you can join us in future yeah. sessions whenever you are in Puttaparthi.
Yeah, definitely we'll try to meet and sit and ponder over what Swami has told us on so many occasions.
Because yeah, all those beautiful little conversations that you had, you know, that those are actually the mantras. Those really help someone who wants to, you know, dedicate their lives for service. And everyone has to dedicate their lives for service. Yeah. There is no choice. So wonderful. So with prayers to Bhagwan, we bring this session to a close. And dear listeners, if you have any queries or suggestions, I know there was a bit of a problem with the mics. So in case you miss anything, please do write to us. We would get in touch with Dr. Narasimhan and clarify your queries. If you have any suggestions or any questions also based on your reading of Prema Vahini, please feel free to write to us. We would be very happy to take that up and discuss in this forum. With gratitude to Bhagwan for giving us this beautiful opportunity to ruminate on his immortal message, we bring this day-long Thursday Live to a close. As always, thanks to each one of you for being with us through this wonderful journey of living in his love and soaking in his message. Thank you so much, Sarah.
You were listening to an episode of our program, Vahini Satsang. This episode was first aired on the 9th February 2017 as part of Thursday Live from Prashanthi Nilayam on Asia Stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony. This program was hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu. Thank you and Sai Ram.